Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva the Verve!
Starting Verve, I started a church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I was pastor there for 12 years. One Sunday before our service, maybe a half hour before, I went into the bathroom. Now, I've made it a regular practice in my life, in my ministry, to go to the bathroom before coming up to teach to, relieve myself of any liquids that might be in my system. However, this venture into the bathroom, I had a different motivation. I'm just going to trust that you know what I'm talking about, all right? And so I went to the stall, I did my business, and then I went to leave, but I realized that I could not leave. For some reason, the door would not open, and I tried. I mean, I'm like, working the lock, and I'm moving the handle up and down, and I am pushing against it, but the door will not budge. And I realized I am stuck. And so I quickly start assessing my options. Like, one alternative, I think, is to crawl under the hole in the door, which seems like the best possibility, other than the fact that I really wasn't excited to have my body pressed against the bathroom floor in the men's room. However, when I looked at the size of the hole, I realized I was not going to fit through that hole, and so that was not an option. I also thought that perhaps another option was to just stay in there. Like, just to not come out, which seemed like a very appealing option to me, except for a few glaring weaknesses. Like, one, the church service we were about to put on would have a very conspicuous lack of a pastor and a sermon. And even bigger, I realized, someday I've got to get out of this bathroom. Like, so even if I can get away with staying in it for a few hours, someday I'll have to get out. So I can't just stay here. The other option I thought was I could scream for help, which would seem certainly to liberate me from my captivity in the men's stall. In fact, I heard a guy come into the bathroom and do whatever he did and then use the sink, and I thought about going, help. But the idea of having to have some guy be my knight in shining armor and rescue me from the men's stall just made me kind of queasy. And so I was like, I'm not going to get help. I'm not going to ask. And so I realized I was stuck. I was just stuck. So, we started this series 3 weeks ago. Today, we're concluding it, and the series is called Unstuck. And what we've done is we've admitted that all of us are stuck. If we look at each other's lives, it becomes obvious. We look at our own lives, it's obvious that we have a few areas that we're stuck in. And I don't know what that is for you, but you're stuck in some way. And so what we've tried to do is find principles in the Bible, effective principles that can help us to go from stuck to unstuck, that will allow us to experience freedom in life, to really experience life. And one of the things we've done each week is we've looked at a person in the Bible who went from stuck to unstuck. And just trying to learn from that person's example, is there anything that they did that I can do that might help me, even though it's all these years later? And so today I want to introduce you to one last person for the series. Her story can be found in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, so if you have a Bible, you can turn there. And if you don't own a Bible, you can pick one up today at the Welcome Center in the lobby, and we'd be glad to give you one to keep. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll put the verse on the screen so you're okay. So here's the story, ready? And we're going to start in verse 21, where it says this. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, okay, this is an important guy, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman, this is who I want you to see, who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. All right, so this lady, and we'll look at the rest of the story in a minute, but this lady was stuck. She was stuck. Like, for instance, she was stuck physically. All right, and she's got a serious problem. It seems as though what she probably has is a chronic menstrual disorder that's kept her bleeding for 12 years. And so she's stuck physically, but she's also stuck socially or relationally. This disease, this problem would be a hardship for any woman of any era, but in her time, being a Jewish woman in that culture, to be sick in almost any kind of way, including this, you would not be allowed to touch your husband, your children. You wouldn't be allowed to bear children. In fact, you wouldn't really be allowed to touch anyone or anything because at that time they didn't understand disease and what was contagious and what wasn't. And so the rule for her would have been you are unclean and you are not to touch anything because if you did, it would make that thing unclean. So she was stuck physically. She was stuck socially. She was also stuck spiritually. Back then, they didn't understand, again, disease and what brought it on. And so people back then thought, if you were sick, it said something about you. And so you weren't allowed in the temple. People who are sick were not allowed in the temple. Temple is kind of like our version of church. And so she wasn't allowed to approach God. She was told that she was too unclean to have a relationship with God. And so are you getting the idea that she was stuck? Stuck, 12 years stuck. And she had tried everything she could think of to get better. You know, it says she went to every doctor, she took all of her money and invested it and just trying to get unstuck, but she couldn't. Nothing worked. But the one thing she hadn't tried was Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you the end of the story now. It's all right. But what happens is she soon realizes that what she needed to get unstuck was a power that she didn't possess, as we've talked about the last few weeks, but that Jesus had, that he had the power. He was the only one, the only thing who had the power to get her unstuck. And so that's exactly what happens. You're going to see Jesus get her unstuck. But what I want you to really pay attention to is the lady, okay? Not so much Jesus, but the lady, and what it is about her that gets her unstuck. And what I think it is, I think it's the fact that she was tenacious. She had this tenacity about her. And so check out the rest of the story. You'll see what I mean. Starting verse 27. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Verse 28 is very interesting. Do you guys remember verb tenses back in school? You remember learning about like past tense, present tense, future tense, past perfect tense, present perfect tense? Can you tell that my mother was an English teacher? She was. Remember all the verb tenses? Well, what's interesting here is that the verb tense used in the original language, it kind of connotes a repeating action. It probably would be better translated because she kept thinking, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. It's not something she thought once. It was something she thought over and over and over again. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Why? Why did she keep thinking it over and over, repeatedly over and over and over? We don't know. It doesn't say, right? Maybe the reason is because she had to keep herself convinced. Maybe she was struggling with some doubts. Does he really have this kind of power? Will Jesus really get me unstuck? I don't know. And so maybe she was just trying to convince herself, keep moving forward. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Or maybe it was that she needed some courage. And she realized this is going to be an awkward moment and there's a lot of weird things going on. I just need courage to keep moving forward. And so if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And she would have needed courage, right? I mean, because remember the setting, what's happening here? But Jesus was on a mission. A very important person had come to Jesus and said, I need your help. My daughter is sick. And so there's an important mission. There's an important person that Jesus is going with. He has an agenda. And this woman had to think, I realize I'm not as important as he is. And it's possible that maybe my sickness isn't as important as his daughter's sickness. And I realize I would be an interruption to Jesus' agenda. But I don't care. I don't care because I am sick of being sick. I don't want to be stuck anymore. I have to get unstuck. And maybe Jesus can get me unstuck. And so I am going for it, right? Even though Jesus was on a mission. Also remember, who is Jesus surrounded by? Well, he's surrounded by a crowd, right? Have you ever had to try to work your way through a crowd? Like maybe you went to a concert and you wanted to be in the front, but you got there late, and so you're like, I'm going for it anyway. Have you ever fought your way through a crowd? It's difficult. You have to fight your way through a crowd, right? I mean, you elbow and you squeeze and excuse me and you push and people get mad. They're like, right? But you don't care. You just, right? Well, that's what this woman had to do. She had to push and shove and squeeze her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. But remember, it's not just any crowd. This is a crowd of people that she's not allowed to touch, right? And so she goes up to this crowd realizing I'm not allowed to be around them, but she thinks, I don't care. I'm not allowed to touch them. I don't care. And she squeezes her way and she pushes and she touches because it was that important to her to get unstuck. And she was tenacious. She was tenacious. Here's a question for you. How many people do you suppose touched Jesus that day? How many people do you suppose in that crowd touched Jesus? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to guess hundreds. It could have been thousands. And there's several stories in the Bible where we see that thousands, literally thousands of people would gather around Jesus, right? So probably at least hundreds, maybe thousands in this huge, massive crowd, all gathering around Jesus and squeezing in, getting close to Jesus. Okay, here's the next question. How many of those people got healed? How many of those people got unstuck? One. Right? Of all the people in the crowd, one got unstuck. And what was the difference about her? What was the difference about her? Here's another question. How many people do you suppose today will go to church, let's say in America? How many people do you suppose will be in church? You know what? Let's make it easier. How many people do you suppose will be in church in Las Vegas? Because we can figure that out. Studies reveal that somewhere between 5 and 9% of people in Las Vegas go to church. And so that means that today there will probably be 150,000, 160,000 people who go to church, right? Which, by the way, means that there's about 1.8 million people in Las Vegas who don't go to church. We have lots of people to invite. But there's probably going to be 150,000 people in church today. Of those 150,000 people in Las Vegas who go to church, how many do you suppose will get unstuck? I don't know, maybe one? Maybe a couple? So what's the difference? What is it about that one person? Well, it's obviously not about being around Jesus, right? Because there was a huge crowd of people all around Jesus, but they didn't get unstuck, only she did. And it's not even about touching Jesus, because all kinds of people were bumping into Jesus and grabbing onto Jesus and shaking hands with Jesus and hugging Jesus. All kinds of people touched Jesus, but they didn't get unstuck. Only she did. It's not even just about faith, because I'll bet you a lot of those people, the reason they were there is because they believed in Jesus. Right? That's why they wanted to be around him. That's why they wanted to hear what he had to say. That's why they wanted to touch him in the flesh, because they believed in Jesus, but they didn't get unstuck. Only she did. So what's the difference? I think it's being tenacious. I think it's having the kind of faith that you don't just show up, the kind of faith that just pushes you forward and will not allow you to quit until you grab hold of Jesus, because you are convinced that he can get you unstuck. It's being tenacious. It's being tenacious. You guys remember the movie Rudy? Now, just for clarity's sake, I'm not talking about little Rudy in the Cosby Show, not that Rudy. And I'm not talking about Rudy that was Fat Albert's friend. Not that Rudy. I'm talking about Rudy, the movie, the football player. Anybody see it, Rudy, a couple years back? Yeah. If you didn't see it, the movie's about this high school kid who is a decent football player, but he has this big dream. He wants to play for Notre Dame, like premier college football program, right? He wants to play for Notre Dame. There's a problem. he's not nearly good enough. He's 5'7", 165 pounds. Not very fast, not very strong, not nearly good enough to play for Notre Dame. And not only that, but he doesn't have good enough grades to go to Notre Dame. But he has this dream. He wants to play for Notre Dame. And so what he does is he goes to a different college because he can't get into Notre Dame. He goes to Holy Cross, and he works really hard to keep his grades up. And then he applies to transfer to Notre Dame, and he gets rejected. So he continues to attend Holy Cross, applies a second time to transfer to Notre Dame, and gets rejected. So he continues to go to Holy Cross, applies a third time to get into Notre Dame, and gets rejected. So he continues to go to Holy Cross, applies a fourth time to get into Notre Dame, and finally gets accepted. Now he's a student at Notre Dame. So he tries out for the football team, not good enough, not even close. But they do put him on the practice squad. Practice squad, you're not on the team. It's just a group of guys who help the real players practice during the week. And so he does it. Every day he's out there, and man, he gives it 100%. He gives it everything he has. In fact, the other players get angry with him because they think he kind of makes them look bad. I mean, nobody goes all out in practice, but he does. And so they're kind of mad, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He has a dream to play for Notre Dame, and so he works hard at it. Every day he's trying to improve his skills, impress the coaches. Every day he works at it. Finally, after 2 years of just being on the practice squad, but giving it everything he's got, it's the day before the final game he can play in, and his coach calls him in and says, all right, one time, you can dress. You can be on the team for this last game. And so for the first time in his life, he gets to put on a Notre Dame uniform, and he gets to run out in the field with a team from Notre Dame. And he gets to stand on the sideline. And then finally, and this is a true story, before the last play of the game, the coach says, all right, you get to play one play. Get in there. And he runs out his dream, finally realize he gets to play for Notre Dame. And his one play gets thrown in at defensive end, and he sacks the quarterback. And he gets carried off the field. He's one of only two players in the history of Notre Dame to be carried off the field after a game. Why did he realize his dream? Because he was tenacious. And that's it. Right? I mean, there are thousands of players who had the same dream as him, but more athletic ability, better grades, faster, stronger, but never played for Notre Dame. Rudy did for one reason. He was tenacious. Tenacious, that's what wins the day. And so what about you? Like let's just get personal, okay? What about you? Are you tenacious? Like, about getting unstuck, about getting to Jesus, about touching Jesus and grabbing hold of him in a way that you're not going to let go until you get the healing that you need for this area that you've been stuck in for so long. Are you tenacious? And what would that even look like in your life? You know, because really, it doesn't really matter if you've been tenacious. What matters is, will you be tenacious? Like, today's a new day. Right? And so you could start today and say, from now on, I mean, I'm going at this with tenacity. What would that look like for you? What would it look like? Now, I don't know what it might, but like, for instance, it might mean that you'd have to be willing to be embarrassed. Like, that's what tenacity might look like for you, is willing to be embarrassed. Like, you think about this lady in the story. It was a great day for her, right? I mean, finally, after 12 years, her illness is gone. She's free. But it was also an incredibly embarrassing day, don't you think? Like she walks up to the crowd that's gathered around Jesus, maybe somebody who knows her and knows about her, recognizes her and goes, what are you doing here? You can't be near us. You're sick. You have a disease. Get away. Embarrassing. Probably happened, right? And then when she finally gets to Jesus, it says she fell at his knees and she did what? It says she told him the whole truth. She told him her whole story in front of everyone, hundreds of people, thousands of people all watching and listening. She explains that she has a chronic menstrual disorder. I got to tell you, I had to get my nerve up all week to say that in front of this little crowd. Can you imagine being her and standing in front of all these people and having to explain her problem? Embarrassing, right? But she was willing to be embarrassed because she was tenacious and she was going to get unstuck no matter what it took. And so are you willing to be embarrassed? Maybe you'll need to be. I don't know what that means. Maybe to get unstuck, maybe you'll need to go to like a support group or a 12-step group, or to a Christian counselor who can kind of guide you in this journey that you need to go on. But maybe you were raised by parents who just like kind of looked down at that sort of thing and just said, oh, you know, these people who need a shrink and are too weak and they need a crutch. And you were just kind of taught that way. And even if it's not true, still, there's just something inside of you that when you think about taking that step, which you need to take, it just feels really embarrassing. Are you willing to be embarrassed? Will you be that tenacious? I don't know. Maybe for you what it would mean to be tenacious, maybe it would mean that you'll have to pray over and over and over and over and over about the area that you're stuck in. Like this lady, right? I mean, she didn't just one time go, if I just touch his clothes, maybe I'll be healed. No, over and over. If I just touch his clothes, maybe I'll be healed. If I just touch his clothes, maybe I'll be healed. As she kind of elbowed past a guy, if I just touch his clothes, maybe I'll be healed. As she pushed past a lady who recognized her and said, you can't touch me. If I just touch his clothes, maybe I'll be healed. She fought through the crowd, thinking it over and over, praying that prayer over and over. And so let me ask you, whatever it is that you're stuck in, how many times have you prayed about it? And what does the amount of times you've prayed about it reveal about your level of tenacity? Right? Like I don't know what your deal is. Maybe you have a husband who you just want more than anything to come here with you and to meet God in the way that you've met God and to have a relationship with God like you have now with God, but he's not interested. Well, have you prayed about it? How many times have you prayed about it? Like a couple? A couple hundred, or a couple thousand. Or maybe the way you're feeling stuck right now is maybe you have a kid, maybe like a teenager, and your child is just completely going the wrong way in life. I mean, totally on the wrong path. And it's killing you. It's breaking your heart. And you just want your child to turn around and it would bring your family back together. And it's really important to you, but is it so important to you that you pray about it every single day? How often do you pray about it? Multiple times a day. Or maybe you have an addiction and you don't want to stay an addict anymore. You want to get unstuck. And my guess is probably if you want to get unstuck, you probably have prayed about it. You probably asked God to take away the temptation and to just take this away from you. But how often have you prayed about it? And how intensely have you prayed about it? And probably most strategically, most importantly, how strategically have you prayed about it? Like what I mean is like when it's the moment, you know, the moment of truth, like you're standing at the crossroads and you're going to do it again, or you're going to say no to that temptation and you're going to start living this new life of being unstuck and this is your moment. In that moment, are you praying about it or are you justifying why you're going to do it one more time? To get unstuck, what you might need to do is pray over and over and over and over and be patient because it may not change in a day. You know, your kid might not come back today. Your temptation with your addiction may not leave today. And so you just have to keep praying and praying and praying and praying. But are you that tenacious? And so, I don't know, being tenacious, it might mean being willing to be embarrassed, or it might mean praying over and over. It also may mean having your secret exposed. But are you willing to have your secret exposed? You think about this lady, right? And so she comes to Jesus, and it says that she fell at his feet, and she did what? She told him the whole truth in front of everybody. And surely not everyone in that crowd of hundreds, maybe thousands of people knew her and knew her story, but they did now, right? Because her secret was now revealed. It was out. It was exposed. And maybe if you're going to get unstuck, maybe the only way is for your secret to be exposed, for you to reveal your secret. In fact, here's my guess. Probably it's not maybe. I would say almost certainly it will require you to expose your secret to a few trustworthy people. Because here's the deal. You know, this lady in the story, she gets to Jesus on her own, but that's rare. Most people who get unstuck, they're not people who keep the whole thing secret. Most people who get unstuck in life are people who bring in a few trustworthy friends to help them get to Jesus. you know, some friends who can tell them it's okay to be embarrassed, it's worth it. Who can encourage them, keep praying. I know you're losing faith, but don't, because it's going to happen. Just keep praying. Friends who can drive them to a support group. Friends who can keep them accountable. Friends who can continue to pray for them. And so most people who get unstuck, they bring some other people into the journey that they trust. And that means they've got to reveal their secret to those people. And I know what you're thinking. I bet some of you right now are thinking, no way. There is no way I would reveal my secret. There is no way I'm ever telling anyone about my affair. There's no way I will ever talk about what my father did to me. I am not sharing with anyone about my eating disorder. Mm-mm. What's in my computer is in my computer, and no one is ever going to know about what's in my computer. I bet some of you right now are thinking those kind of thoughts. There's no way I would ever expose myself and reveal my secret. And if you're thinking that, I just have to very respectfully tell you that you're thinking about this the wrong way. Because what you're thinking about is, if I reveal my secret, here's what I would lose. You know, right? That's what you're thinking is, like, I would lose my pride because I would be embarrassed that somebody else knows, like my dirty, dark stuff. And you're thinking, I would lose this image that we've created that we have a happy marriage when we don't. I would lose my reputation that I've kind of got my life all together and I'm good when really I don't. And I would lose that. And so you're not willing to reveal your secret because of what you're afraid you'd lose. But you're thinking about it wrong. Because what you need to focus on is not what you'd lose, but what you would gain. What you would gain is unstuck. What you'd gain is freedom. The freedom to live life without guilt, without shame, without feeling isolated and lonely. Because I've shared my secret and I have some people who are on my journey with me. What you'd gain is freedom. You'd gain life. And so it's worth it to reveal your secret. And I'll tell you this, too. Your secret is not a secret. I know it makes you feel better to think it's a secret, but it's not a secret because God knows. God knows. God knows everything about you. God knows your secret. God knows what was done to you. God knows what you've done. God knows your sin. God knows the temptations you face and struggle with. God knows your heart. God knows your darkness, and God loves you anyway. And God has this mission, and it's a mission to bring you life, to get you unstuck. And that's why God sent Jesus. But here's the problem. The problem is that there are all kinds of people who believe in Jesus. There's all kinds of people who read about Jesus and talk about Jesus and go to church so it can kind of be around Jesus. But there's not many people who get unstuck. And the reason is because getting unstuck is not about being in the vicinity of Jesus. Getting unstuck is about being tenacious for Jesus. It's about having this faith that drives you forward towards Jesus and will not let you stop. It will not let you turn back. It will not stop until you reach out and you grab hold of Jesus. It won't let you stop. It's about tenacity, right? I told you about the embarrassing morning that I got stuck in the stall in the men's room of the bathroom. Well, here's what happened. I'm standing there, right? And I'm like, what do I do? Like sliding under the door, not an option. I won't fit. And just staying here and just everyone wonders, whatever happened to Vince? Not an option. And screaming for help, although it would get me out, was just way too awkward for me to consider an option. And I couldn't just stay there. And so what I finally did was I got as far back from the door as I could. And there's like a toilet there. And so I'm sort of, you know, like this. And I just reared back and I went, boom! And I just hit that door as hard as I could with all my weight, and it budged. Just like there was a little bit of movement. I was like, that's something. And so I went back by the toilet again, and I went, boom! And I hit it again, and it budged a little bit more. And then, boom, I hit it again, and I just flew through the door. I broke through. And here's the deal. If you've been stuck for a while, And you have, right? So have I. We all have been. If you've been stuck for a while, listen, you getting yourself out, you doing this in your own power, not an option. You just hoping it will get better and someday I'm sure things are going to change, not an option. You just accepting things the way they are and giving up and just saying, this is just my lot in life. I'm going to always stay stuck. Not an option. Not an option. What you need to do today, is you need to get tenacious. You need to say, I am sick of being stuck and I'm not going to stay this way anymore. I need a power I don't possess that I can only find in Jesus, and so I'm going to do whatever it takes. Man, if I have to be embarrassed, if I have to pray over and over every day, if I need to have my secret exposed and bring other people into it, whatever it takes, I am going to go through the obstacles and through my excuses like a battering ram until finally I touch Jesus and I experience freedom, life, unstuck, So, I'm done. But here's the deal. We're going to start a new series next week, and we'll be talking about something else, right? And you're going to go out today, and you're going to go to lunch or watch football or whatever it is you do, and you're going to start thinking about something else. But man, this series can't be done in your life, right? You don't get unstuck in 4 weeks. And so what you need to do is take the principles we've learned. If you miss them, you can listen to the podcasts on our website. But you need to take those principles and you need to start working them in your life and maybe get some people who can help you. And so what I want to do is I want to give you 3 or 4 minutes before you leave to just think about that. Think about, what is this going to look like for me? How do I get tenacious? What would it be? If I was had that kind of tenacity, what would I do next? What's my next step? What are the excuses holding me back? What are the things that I just need to blast through like a battering ram? And so we're going to give you a couple minutes. The band's going to come up, and they're going to play a song and just get you thinking about this idea of going from stuck to unstuck, from a life that's kind of crappy to a life that's something beautiful. And so the band will come up, and they'll play, and you'll have just a few minutes just to work with this before we leave. During that time, we also make communion available to you. Communion is this incredible thing. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice, right? But they represent Jesus' body given on the cross for us and his blood shed on the cross for us. And it's just this incredible reminder that Jesus died that we might have life, that there's life in Jesus' death. And so if we want to get unstuck, we need to connect to the power that he has and that he gave to us. And so there is communion over here where the candles are at and back in that corner. If you want to take communion, you can go over and you can take a piece of bread and a cup of juice and bring them back to your seat. And after you've prayed and just said, thank you, Jesus, that you love me despite my stuckness, despite my sin, that you love me and so much that you gave your life for me. Thank you. And you can eat and drink. And just use this time to really deal with what we've been talking about with God. So let's pray. And I got a few announcements before we leave, so don't take off yet. God, I love this story in the Bible because, you know, this woman didn't have anything going for her that anyone else had, and she was stuck as anybody you could find. She had this one thing. She was absolutely tenacious. God, it's been my experience that that's who gets unstuck. Those are the people who really live life and have great marriages and enjoy their work and have good friends are people who are tenacious about really living. And so, God, I pray that you'd put that in us. It may be that a lot of us would say, that is not me. It's not been my story. Well, we can start a new story today. Today we can turn a page. And, God, I pray in these next few minutes that you would do just that in our hearts, that you would help us to be so sick of being stuck and so desirous of real life, real freedom, of unstuck, that you would put a tenacious spirit in us, God. And you would help us to realize that what we need to be tenacious about is you, because you have the only power that can get us unstuck. And so thank you for showing us that in Jesus. And God, I pray in his name, amen.